All right. Tonight, now, as we look through these five verses, we will not spend much time on the first three, just briefly mentioning some things, and then we'll spend the time on verses 4 and 5. But when you read from verse 1 and up through verse 5, you're going to find this fact. Here is an assurance from the evidence of true love. Let me say that again. This is an assurance from the evidence of true love. Now, you know this. The Father has loved us first. God has loved us first. And because we trusted the Savior, His Son, the Father, and because in so doing we were given the new birth, and then when the Savior went back to glory, He sent to us the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter. Now, the Holy Spirit being our comforter, keep this in mind. He is our comforter, but Jesus is our comfort. There's that difference. Be sure you keep that in mind. It is always the person of the Savior. It is the person of the Savior who died on the cross. It's the person of the Savior who rose again the third day. It's the person of the Savior who came from heaven's glory to earth's midnight in the beginning to pay for yours and my salvation, paying that full penalty. It's the person of the Savior. In your Christian life, after you've been born again, we talk about prayer works. No, God works. It's not prayer that works. Prayer without God is nothing. So when you pray, you want to remember that it's always the person of God. It's not just prayer. Now, I know what we mean when we say that, but let's be very careful that in our thinking, anytime anything is a blessing, it's not because of our ability. It is not because of our own testimony. It is because God in His person, by His power, in His way, has taken us and used us in such a manner that when we exalt Him, glorify Him, and He does get the glory, then He gives other people the benefit over the testimony that you bore. But all that testimony that you bore came because of the person and the power of God. That's the way it works. It's never because I. It's always because He. Amen? So, here is an assurance. Now, you know that when you have a friend, a close friend, you have to work at it. You say, what do you mean? Well, I can call someone my friend and expect him to be my friend. And I can declare myself to be his friend. But what if I never make contact with him? What's he to think? What am I to think? And you people, whoever they may be, they say they love the Lord and pray so little. Well, then how does that work? If you're going to have you have to work at it. In a husband and wife relationship in a home. If the love is to be what it ought to be, you have to work at it. So keep this in mind, the first statement. Here, when we look at this, this is an assurance from the evidence of true love. Now, if you will, think about this for just a moment. since you were saved on that date. You have now dwelling within you the Spirit of God. The Savior has saved you. Your view is completely changed from what it was before you were saved. It's entirely different. We'll make more mention of this in a moment. But when I look at something now, I look at it from the view and the standpoint of whatever is upward. And then I also look at it from the standpoint of whatever is outward. And then I look at it from the standpoint and the view of whatever's inward. What is inward? What is outward? What is upward? My Savior, your Savior, He is inward. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You're in constant possibility of making contact with Him. Now, He never leaves you. And if anything causes a breaking in the fellowship, not relationship, it's because of you, me. It's not because of Him. But if the relationship that stays the same is to have that which we call fellowship, then there must be constant contact, just as there must be when it comes to a friend in the physical realm or in the earthly realm. When you talk about this kind of friend, you can think of Jonathan and David. Who made the steps to become the friend? Not David. Jonathan did. And it was Jonathan that stripped himself of what was really and rightfully him as the first prince and as the king's son. And he laid it all down before David so that he might be to David what David needed as a friend. Now, beloved, that's a real friend. Would you like to know something? There are not many friends like that. May God help us, help you, help me, to be that kind of a friend. He took no glory. He took no credit. He gave and gave and gave and did not put a limit on His giving. The Savior gave and gave and gave and put no limit on His giving. So I would say, would you not say that with this inward fellowship, established relationship, that I ought always be making contact with this friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Huh? So John, in his dissertation that the Holy Spirit gave him, he establishes the fact that this matter of love and faith. Now, please understand something, that when he does this, he presents the results of that love in our own lives, according to chapter 4. He presents those results in our relationship to others, chapter 4, and our relationship to God, chapter 5. So, he presents the results of this in our own lives. in our lives toward others, and in our relationship, fellowship with God. So in establishing this nature, which he does, this nature of saving faith, when you and I look at it, Hebrews 11 in a few moments, you'll understand my meaning when I say this saving faith, this exercised faith, this faith that's permanent, this faith that's practiced. And so there is the nature of saving faith and the result of saving faith. Now, here's a fact. Fact number one. The love of God and the love of man are inseparable parts of the same experience. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Think that through. When I got saved, when God did this great work in me, in you, what happened? Just that we were fixed so we could go to heaven? Oh, no, no, no. That's not all that happened. That is primary. Amen. Because God can't take us into His family without the new birth. Of course that's true. But the new birth was the beginning of a new life. And when that took place, then I got a number of things established within me that is the evidence of the fact that I'm saved. What is one of those evidences? That I love the children of God because I love the Father. And you can't get out of it. No, you can't get out of it. And you can't pick and choose. You love the family of God because you love the Lord. And if you say you love the Lord and you don't love the family of God, you better examine that. Because it isn't true. The love of God and the love of the children of God, those two things are inseparable. Don't you think that I ought to remember that the next time that I'm going to gossip about one of the brethren? Oh, excuse me. You didn't hear me? The next time that I am miffed about something, am I allow myself to become at cross purposes with a believer? Who's wrong? Well, the Savior's not wrong. And whether the person is or is not wrong, that's not where the wrong lies. The wrong lies here. This is where the wrong is. I want my life to be greatly used of God. It will not be greatly used of God if I turn my nose up at other believers. Hello. Hello, hello. You see, it's so easy to be nice to people that you like. But it's not so easy to be nice to people you don't like. And then comes the question, why don't you like them? You say, well, okay. But let me ask you a question. Are they in the family of God? Well, if they are, then what is my responsibility because of that which has been placed within me? Love them. Now, I want to tell you, if you love them, if I love them, whoever they may be, this girl, or this girl, or that man. I'm going to do something for them. Oh, of course. You say you love the Lord. I don't doubt that. No. That's not my business. I'm not on the jury. I'm not the judge. Though some folks think they are. But I'm going to do something for them. You see, Brother Ken Fuller loves kids. Not just kids. He shows favoritism towards some adults, but when he gives them candy, what does that mean? He loves them and he does something for them. Now, he's not a wealthy man, and he doesn't get the candy by a five-finger discount. No, he doesn't do that. But he has that candy ready for precious children. And he loves them. And he gives to them. And I say I love the Lord. And what would I withhold from him? Huh? Do you know? Hear me carefully now. We are having a time. If every believer in this assembly were tithers, we'd never face a financial problem. Never. Never. Let's just take a number, okay? Let's just say, just take the number 100. Now, I'm talking about adults, but young people, children who understand, know, and practice. If 100 people were tithe on their income, we'd never have a financial problem. So where's the problem? See, nobody knows whether or not you tithe. Nobody knows that. Pastor doesn't know it. He never checks. Never, never, never. The only one that knows is Brother Clay, because he has to handle the records. And he never talks about it. He's trustworthy. But where's the problem? Wait a minute, excuse me. Wait, let's come back. Now, I say, I love the Lord. And he that loveth me, he it is that keepeth my commandments. Oh, that means I gotta be a tither. I can't afford it. Shut up. Five a dollar, a dime. And everything that I have has been given me by God. You say, well, I go to work. Yeah, who gives you the energy to work? Who gives you the breath to breathe? Who keeps you safe when people are shooting at each other? You see, the evidence of love, true love, is it expressed in such a manner that you do something for those you love. Number one, your father. Now, your father doesn't need your money. But you need to give him your money. And why? Because he gave you whatever you have. And he has established a way by which a portion of that is given back to him from your heart of appreciation and learning how to fear God properly. Properly. That's what's involved with it. And it's such a trite thing. Sometimes we say you can't outgive God. Well, of course that's true. But don't treat it tritely. He gives every day. He giveth more grace. When the burdens grow greater. And he doesn't have to. He chooses to. Brother Gary, when you and your wife had your children, there were some serious hours in some cases where one or more could have died. I remember. And he giveth more grace. What about the case of Noel? And he giveth more grace. You see, we get so caught up with the tinsel, the allurement, a dirty world, that sometimes we forget. Look, every person born in sin, God has made a way by which the child, baby, is cared for if they die. But whenever that age comes for the child, God knows this, whenever that age comes, then there is a transfer from this to this where we call it the age of accountability. Okay. Every unsaved person is captivated by the world, the system. Every one of them, they are. Whether it's things, or whether it's money, whatever it is. Or some people, I just need to use this as an illustration, so don't jump the fence on me here. But some people eat three times as much as they ought to eat. They do. I'm not just talking about the tendency, if they have a tendency to be overweight. No. Some people are skinny as a rail and eat much more than they need. And the only reason that you don't find anything to criticize is because they're skinny as a rail when they eat what they eat. Huh? Oh, aren't we having fun? So, every unsaved person looks to the world. Sports, entertainment, a boat on Lake Powell. But do you understand that the world is all they have? That's all. That's all they have. Okay, now, you take the person who's been saved. They now have not only all that they need, not only because they're saved, but because God has promised to supply all their need. They have all they need, and if they recognize what they have, they also have all they want. Did you know, when you honor God with all your heart, with all your life, if you practice this matter of the friend to friend, friend to the Savior, Savior always expressing to you, when you do that, and He knows exactly what you need, and you become aware of what you need, and you pray about what you need, and He knows what you need, He gives you what you need. Did you get that? And because some people, drive a really, 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 really nice car like Brother Ken does. You think that's because he's a good guy? His wife doesn't agree with that. No, that's not true. But he's got a nice car. Where'd he get it? Now, no, be painfully practical. He got it from God. That's where he got it. That's where he got it. And God knows what you need, and He will give you what you need. So when I realize what I have because of the new birth and all that God is, I have everything I need. And if I just recognize it, I have everything I want. Huh? Okay. Now, I want you to look at verse 4 and 5. Look at those two verses. Watch this now. For whatsoever is born of God, notice this wonderful, wonderful word, overcometh the world. Now that's the thing that the unsaved loves, the world, the system. That's the thing that the child of God is told not to love, the system. Okay. For whatsoever is born of God, you're saved, I'm saved, overcometh the world. Then notice the next part. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Wow. You see, the fact is, in this verse, victory is expected. Huh? Well, I mean, unless I misread it. Did I misread it? For whatsoever born of God overcometh the world. There it is. Is that not victory? Class, are you asleep? Is that not victory? Amen. Well, okay then. Victory, it's expected. When I got saved, here's the point. Here's the point for you and me. Because, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Okay, then, you know what that did for me? It gave me a complete change. Huh? Amen. Class, huh? Amen. Okay, all right. Here I have a complete change. Now, but not just a complete change, there's a complete difference. Huh? Come on now. There's a complete difference. In what? Oh, in my directions. In my desires, in my destiny, there's a complete change, a complete difference. Okay. Now, because that's true, because of what verse 4 says, victory being expected, that the born of God belong to another world. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Amen. And the fact is, not only is a victory expected, it's explained. The last part of verse 4 explains. Now, when you come to Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter. Now, notice, wait, what did he say? For whatsoever born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? All right. Hebrews chapter 11, think about this now. Abel overcame the pride of this world. He did not depend upon himself. He simply obeyed God and went to the altar and presented the sacrifice, whereas his brother would not. Abel overcame the pride of this world. Enoch overcame the progress of this world. Do you understand that Enoch was living in a pornographic society already? Do you think pornographic material is new to this age? No! It's been around ever since the fall of the garden. And so Enoch overcame the progress of this world. Noah, by faith, overcame the pollution of this world. If you think for a moment, all of those people that found fault with him and walked past and laughed and joked, you know, around their necks there were wearing the bones of animals as a fetish. And they were praying to all kinds of idols. And they would not, did not believe in God. But Noah, by faith, overcame the pollution of the world. And Abraham overcame the prospects of this world. Do you remember what he was offered by the king of Sodom? And refused it. No! Why? Because he had just gotten through meeting with Melchizedek. Woo! Woo! Wonderful! In the presence of whom I believe was none other than the Savior. I mean, just think of the presence of the Savior pre-incarnate. And all that Abraham was able to experience when Lot was over yonder hobnobbing with the people of Sodom. So Abraham overcame the prospects of this world. Sarah overcame the paralysis of this world. Her womb was dead. She's 90 years old. And then God made it alive and conception took place. Thank God. And Sarah, by faith, overcame the paralysis of this world. And then Isaac overcame the passions of this world. He almost missed it. He almost gave the blessing to the wrong boy. But he didn't. And thank God he overcame the passions of this world. Jacob overcame the perspective of this world. And the parents of Moses overcame the prince of this world. They defied Pharaoh in the fact that they refused to let that baby Moses be killed. And God provided a lady to take care, and later his own mama. And here, Moses' parents defied the prince of this world. And Rahab overcame the punishment of this world. You know, once this great truth of this love, this working at the fellowship, friendship, love for God, love for the family of God. Once this great truth grips my soul, once this has been enthroned in my heart, then I want you to know that my attitude toward the world system changes. And yours too. See, we then see the world as our Lord sees it. And by the way, the world sees us as it sees Him. And it hated Him. So don't be fuddled when it hates you. And because of the way that works, then a great gulf is fixed. And the only way anything can ever be done about the great gulf is for those on the side of the unsaved get saved and come to the side of the saved. That's the only answer. So hear me carefully as I close. One cannot love God and not love those born of God. And a genuine child of God will habitually, hear me, habitually obey God's commandments. Did you hear me? Habitually. That means a habit. Then not only does a believer know God's commandments through experientially knowing Christ, but he also has the supernatural ability to keep them. You make a choice to obey God, and in every single case, He will always see you through. Now, let me say that again. When you make a choice to obey God, He will always see you through. The life of the believer, it is one of a struggle. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, we're assured of victory. You obey because you love. And because you love to obey. Huh? Oh, yeah. And then, believers make a distinct group of people who are in the world, but not of it, and who do not compromise with the world. I wonder tonight, between you and God, how your friendship is. How your fellowship is. Oh, you don't have to worry about the relationship. But here. In a moment, I'm going to ask Brother Aguiar to pray. But if I love, like the Scripture is teaching me to do, then, Betty, I won't mistreat you. No. There's no way. There's just no way. And girls, I won't mistreat you. No, I won't do that. That is, if I love like the Scripture teaches me. Because whether I like it or not, you're in the family of God. By the way, I like it. But, you know, Brother Carl, you might not wear the kind of a tie that I like. But while you're not looking, I'll steal it and then burn it. No, I won't do that. But I have no right at all, because I love Him, I love you, I have no right to mistreat you. No. No. Listen, in our home, if I mistreat this girl, there's a lack of love. Huh? No, you see, This girl right here, this girl, I mean, not in looks now. She's like a Missouri mule. Meaning, she never quits. I mean, she's a kind of a girl. She'll work, work, work. I mean, can you imagine fixing meals for all those kids? Man. I mean, you talk about care. Woo! See, no matter. Sometimes she may have a burden on her heart and she may walk past me and she might not smile. What's my response? Love. That's my response. Love. Huh? Come on now. Is that not true? Of course. Okay. Then that means that she and I would agree to try to do something for her because we love her. Because we love her husband. I mean, I said to her one day about her children, man, your kids, they are agile. Man, I mean, listen, Judah, whew, man, choo! I mean, listen, you better keep your eye on him because he's out of sight and nothing flat.
Amen.
See? Bless his heart. I love him. I do. And I'm shabby, but I want to get over it. I do. And I can't explain this, Jeremiah. I really can't. Now I've been trying to think this through and try to explain. But I am just absolutely filled with wonder about the way God has brought you and your fiance together.
Amen.
I mean, boy. I mean, it's a good thing she's got parents. Because if she didn't, we'd take her in. You see, when you love, you got to work at it. And you'll give.
Amen.
And when you love, and you walk by faith, you'll be an overcomer. You will be an overcomer. God has provided the way. Brother Ron, will you pray?
Lord, we thank you for the message tonight, Lord. You say that whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, Lord. What a blessed promise that we have overcome the world, Lord, through you. What you're doing in us, what you're doing out of us, Lord. We don't have to worry about these football players that are refusing to stand up during the playing of the national anthem. Lord, we can overcome. We have overcome those things. We don't have to worry about this leader in North Korea that threatening war, Lord, you've overcome it. You've paid for it, Lord. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about being defeated by Satan and his trickery, Lord. He may cause it to stumble, but Lord, through you we can overcome the world. We have the power to overcome the world, Lord, because of what you've done for us, what you've done on the cross. You paid for all of our sins and made it possible for us to be able to someday sit on the right hand of God, Lord. We know that we'll be able to be with you. And Lord, it's not what we've done. It's not because of what we've done, but it's because of what you've done that we're able to overcome the world, Lord. We just thank you for that. And Lord, that's a great comfort to know that no matter what situation we're in, that we've overcome the world. I think of those during the Vietnam War. I've been watching the thing on PBS and the POWs, how many times they were beaten and they submitted, but they were able to look to God and know that they could come back and still have victory, that they, no matter what the Vietnamese did to them and tortured them, and that they couldn't take the love for their family, and they couldn't take the love for their country, and they couldn't take the love for God out of them, that they would be victorious over that. That's what you've done for us, Lord. And no matter what Satan does to us, he can cause bad things to happen, Lord, but we've overcome the world. We just thank you for that. Thank you for the message and the reminder, Lord, how great you are and how magnificent you are, Lord. You're so gracious to us, and we love you, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for what you're going to do with us, for us. Thank you for our families, Lord, and we do thank you for our country. And just pray that you be with the preacher and Mrs. Scott and our travels to Kentucky to see Aaron and Liz and Ezekiel, I believe his name is, and the new baby. Pray that you just be with them and encourage them and bless their time together. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.